Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This episode is dedicated to the memory of Brian Travers of UB40 fame. Brian had agreed to come onto the podcast for a chat about his Irish roots, growing up in a multicultural Birmingham, and of course, his band, UB40. We never did get to have that chat, Brian, but I'd like to thank Mark McCabe, who sorted out the introductions, and Brian had agreed to come onto the show, as I said. So, one love, Brian, to your family and friends, and thanks for the memories. And we'll play out the show today with something from UB40. This is the Celtic Soul Podcast. I'm Andrew Millen and you're all very welcome back to the show. And in this episode, I'll be chatting to two people. Playwright Jim Orr, and all the fans will know Jim from Save Ourselves back in 1990, which kickstarted the campaign to get rid of the old board and paved the way for the Fergus McCann era and the stadium rebuild that we now sit in. And the stadium, of course, is rocking again, thanks to the lockdowns being finished and Celtic playing some magnificent football under Ange. But anyway, back to Jim. Jim is also the main man behind Bend It Like Bratback, Bend It Like Bertie, and Bend It Like Baxter comedy plays, a season ticket holder since 1988. Jim is also part of the wonderful charity Football Memories. And also joining me will be Des McLean, an award-winning comedian who has earned his stripes on stage, radio, and television. He's a Celtic fan, and next week he will tick off another from his bucket list when he takes to the stage in a Celtic play written by Jim, Bend It Like Bertie, which is not the story of Bertie Auld. And I believe, listening to the boys, it is going to be wonderful, and 3 nights sold out already, and still I think there's a matinee with some tickets left, but I'm sure Jim will tell us all about that when we chat. I'd like to thank Logan Celtic Supporters Club up in County Armagh for the kindly sponsoring both the fanzine and the podcast. And thanks very much for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. All the crew up there in one of the finest drinking establishments in Logan. They have a wonderful Celtic Supporters Club up there, the envy of the rest of us here in Ireland. So well done to them all. Keep it up, and we'll bump into you in Glasgow, I'm sure. Folks, and if you would like to sponsor us, please get in contact with us via the website, social media, and you can email us at info@celticfanzine.com. And as you know by now, we are fully fan-funded, which enables us to produce free content across all our platforms. We don't have a Patreon, we don't go behind a paywall, and if you can't afford it, please support us by visiting CelticFanzine.com, where you can donate for the price of a pint. You can also support us by becoming a member, subscribing to the fanzine, buying a copy of the fanzine, a t-shirt or some merchandise at our online shop. We really do appreciate all the support you have given us over the past 20 years since we started our independent Celtic fan journey with more than 90 minutes fanzine. And issue 116 is just out. All the subscribers should have it by now. And there's still some copies left if you want to buy one. Again, visit the website, CelticFanzine.com. Thank you so much for the support. And folks, I'm delighted to say Celtic AM is coming back to Glasgow. We'll be back in September in a Glasgow City Centre pub. It's a new venue. We'll be straying away from Malone's. And we'd like to thank Malone's for hosting us for maybe 4 seasons, maybe more. Can't even remember when we kicked off Celtic AM. But anyway, put this date in your diary from Glasgow, 11th September. We'll be kicking off around 12 o'clock, finishing at 2, and then we'll be heading up to see Celtic play Ross County at Paradise. And I have to say, I'm looking forward to getting back to our pre-match ritual of a pint and talking Celtic to a wide variety of guests. And I hope to see all the regulars moving with us, and hopefully some Celtic AM first timers and listeners maybe to this podcast. Don't forget, folks, you can find us across all social media platforms. The podcast is available across all platforms. And please visit our YouTube Celtic Fanzine channel, where you'll find all our shows, including this podcast, Talk from the Terrace, Grand Old History, and a couple of other bits and pieces. And they're also all available on CelticFanzine.com, as are all the podcasts. Well, folks, I haven't a nail left on my hands after watching Celtic against Isaac Akma. Whew, what a game. We were under a lot of pressure. Got the early goal. Conceded two poor goals. Joe Hart made a couple of good saves. And I was a relieved man, like so many other Celtic fans, when the final whistle blew. But you know what? It was the best team we played all season. I know we're early in the season, but they were a good team. They put us under some pressure. They pressed us. And we came out of it on top because we had a really, really good first leg. And I tell you one thing, the fans played their part in that one. Absolutely brilliant it was in the stadium that night. And I know there's a couple of, Marcus Bain and a few other lads were over at the away game undercover. So, boy, Jesus, boys, you've picked a tough one to go to. But I hope you've enjoyed it and you've got out safe. I look forward to seeing you on an away day soon. And I'm thinking maybe our first away day could be Livingston next month. So hopefully, you know, there was so many steps. The first step was to get back to Paradise. Then it was to get back to a full stadium. And we're almost full now. On the main stand area where the players are still sitting. But hopefully they'll be moving back into the dugout. And we'll get those seats back as well. We've no seats for Rangers this week, unfortunately. Yeah, they, as usual, have spit the duty out of the pram. And even though the allocation was very small anyway, but it would have been nice to have some Celtic fans now. It's going to be another tough game. We'll see how far we've come under Ange now when we take on our arch rivals and the new club. But anyway, folks, let's just get stuck into me conversation with the guests then. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Jim Orr and Des McLean. I'm joined on this episode of the Celtic Soul podcast by Scottish comedian Des McLean and playwright Jim Orr. Jim has been a Celtic season ticket holder since 1988. And older listeners will remember Jim from the Save Ourselves campaign back in 1990, which kicked off the pressure to remove the old board. Jim is also the man behind the Bended Like plays, and his latest episode, Bended Like Bertie, kicks off at the Webster Theatre in Glasgow on September the 2nd. Des McLean will need little introduction to many of our listeners. Des is an award-winning comedian who has earned his stripes on TV, radio and stage. Hello, boys. You're very welcome to the Celtic Soul podcast. Jim, firstly, can I kick off with you? And please bring us up to date on the new play, which we're all looking forward to seeing.
Bended Like Bertie kicks off the 2nd of September to the 4th of September. Actually sold out for the three nights. We've had to add an extra matinee on Saturday the 4th, so there's still some tickets left for that. Bended Like Bratback, as you said, the follow-up to Bended Like Bratback, which went down pretty well with the Celtic fans. End up playing at the SEC, which was quite surreal. So once I'd finished that one, the next one, I thought, when you're a Celtic fan, you're writing Celtic plays, you've tons of choice, basically. So pick a year, pick a trophy, pick a person. So ended up going for 1965 in the Scottish Cup run. And when you start to research it, you realise how big a part Bertie Auld played. So once it was kind of half written, you realise it, what do you call this, Bender Like something? And you're looking for something that starts with a B, hopefully two syllables. So Bender Like Bertie was a bit of a gift. So we go with Bender Like Bertie. I kind of virtually finished the first draft, and then I meet Mr. McLean for the first time. And on his bucket list, he tells me, is it must have been a Celtic play. So I say, I'm writing something called Bender Like Bertie. And he says, oh, hi. So I go home, and then 5 minutes later, when I get home, there's a message, and it's from Mr. McLean. So I phone him back, and he was 5 minutes full-on Bertie Auld impersonation, just unbelievably good. So that planted a wee seed, because although the storyline didn't change, you think, hold on, I can actually have Bertie Auld in this play, actually somebody who sounded exactly like Bertie Auld. So that kind of changed that a wee bit. So It's not the Bertie Auld story, I must emphasise that, because a number of people said today, so I can't wait to see the Bertie Auld story. It's not the Bertie Auld story. The Tommy Byrne story is on in a couple of months' time, which I'm going to go to see, looking forward to that, and that's a Tommy Byrne story. This isn't a Bertie Auld story, and I tried to describe it to someone a few weeks ago, and I said, if you imagine there's a new James Bond film comes out, and Bertie Auld's in the James Bond film, and he's 00:10:30, that's kind of what it's like. He just appears now and again. We do a wee homage to Bertie at the start, but after that, he becomes a key character within the play, jumping in and out. And Des does this phenomenal impersonation of Bertie. So even though it's like in a madcap comedy, Des just has to open his mouth as Bertie, and it's unreal how accurate it is.
Okay, Des, give us a little bit of Bertie.
See, he's built it up now to be awesome, and it's all right. People will be going, that's nothing like him. No, the reason, before I move on to that, I actually saw, the reason that the Celtic play was on my bucket list was because I saw I was always gigging, I was always doing gigs when Jim had asked me to go and see the brilliant Bend It Like Bratback. And then everyone was talking about it, and I saw the last night, remember, in the intimate Gracie's in the Merchant City, lovely. Remember, Jim, that very last show, and it felt very special because it was just a small venue, intimate crowd. This is a play that's been to the big SCCC, which is the big venue in Glasgow, and you're seeing it. It's amazing. And my wife loved it. She knows nothing about football, my wife. She knows nothing. She doesn't bother, although she's fed up with me saying I'm on the Ange train this year and going on and on about it and all that. So I saw that, and then when I left, my wife loved it. She thought it was amazing. She was going, oh my God, that whole season, what a roller coaster, going up and down to stop the ten and all that. And I said, that's it. I really, really want to be in a Celtic play now. I need to be. Life's too short. That is on my bucket list. I need to be. Then I contacted Jim, and then the Bend It Like Bertie thing. And I thought, this is fate, because I've met Bertie loads of times. I've done gigs with him. We've done charity nights in local pubs in the East End. I mean, tough pubs, Celtic pubs, right down to like the Hilton Hotel. But also, I did Vegas with Bertie, Las Vegas with Bertie. Bertie was Mr. Vegas over there. He loved it. And I did this gig, and I sat next to him on the plane for 10 hours coming back from Vegas, and Bertie was sitting there telling me all the stories, you know. And what do you think then? What do you think of Messi and Ronaldo? Listen, son, listen. See these players? Jinky could pass the ball into the net. Right, see thing is, listen, see 67, we were standing there in the tunnel. Sandro Mazzola. They were like film stars. It was like Hollywood. You see, we were white as a sheet. They were all tanned. The white teeth. Oh, I think Jim Craig was doing a wee bit of work on them. And then, oh, your teeth won Ronnie Simpson's bonnet. It was magnificent. It was magnificent, son. You see, and I'm looking at them all. Sandro Mazzola. He looked like Omar Sharif. They all looked like film stars. Oh, and then I looked at wee Jinky, and I looked at Ronnie, and I looked at Big Caesar. Big Caesar was magnificent. Magnificent. And then I just stood and I looked at them. My chest puffed out. And that's when I went, hail, hail. And I know you two were nearly joining in there. So what's it going to be like when the whole audience join in? So it was just a brilliant entertainer. And even when he's standing there, you've seen all the videos, and he's standing, you know, doing his jokes and all that, you know, and he's like, let me tell you something, right? Big Tiny Wharton, what a man, what a character he was. Oh. He was 54 years of age, and he'd never seen his shoes in 50 years. Oh, like that, right? Ah, what a, and he came running over towards me, not with any great pace, I hasten to add, right? And he said, and I knew it was going off. And he was having a howler, he was having a shocker of a game. Shocker of a game. And he turns around to me and he says, right, you. And I says, hold on a minute. I says, see, if I called you a bastard, would you send me off, Mr. Wharton? And he went, of course I would. Nobody calls me a bastard. I said, what if I just thought you were a bastard? Would you send me off? He went, no, I couldn't, because you just think it. I says, well, I think you're a bastard. Some man, so he is. Big tiny. What a man. What a character. But everybody that he talks to, he will talk about like, very, very fondly. Jimmy McGrory, Mr. McGrory, what a man. Camel Coat, Ooty Slater's. It's a shop that's very much revered here in Scotland. anyway, always immaculate. Slater's. So, I mean, immaculate, beautiful man. beautiful man. And then we'd walk onto the bus on a Saturday night, and they'd all be singing Charlie Tully, and Charles Patrick Tully would have the wee soft hat on, and he's beautiful man. And Jimmy McGrory said to me, says, son, signing on fee, £20. Panmure Thistle, they were even offering that. And he turned around and he says, son, have you ever seen a new £20 note? I said, I've not even seen an Algin. Some carry on. I promise you, what a carry on.
Right, there you go.
Brilliant.
What can you say, Andrew?
How do you follow that? That's just throwing the whole podcast off.
Now, because people just go, we've seen the whole thing.
You're Celtic Adrensions, right? How important, because you've been on stage, you've been in the theatres before, you've been on TV, been on radio, and you know, you said the Celtic play was on your bucket list. So how important is it as a Celtic boy to be involved in this, apart from the arts end of it?
Just as as a lifelong Celtic fan, it's the one thing, it doesn't matter if you're Billy Connolly, Kevin Bridges, you know, Martin Compson, we all have that bond we're Celtic fans. It doesn't matter who you are. And for anybody to get asked to appear in a production like this, and you know it's going to be a real labour of love. The last cast for Bendit Le Bratback, they were all Celtic fans through and through. And it does help. You know, you don't have to be one, but it really does help. And it's just going to be so enjoyable walking out there with a whole Celtic audience and playing Bertie. And as Jim says, it's not the Bertie old story, but there's plenty of Bertie in it. There's plenty. And it starts off with Bertie telling all these lovely wee anecdotes and stories that you've probably heard many times. And then Bertie he's all the way through it here and there with a special, special role in the play that's a lot of fun. And it's very, very funny. Very, very funny play all the way through. Not just the Bertie bits. Very funny.
Yeah, Jim, when I had you in Celtic AM, our pre-match show in Glasgow, you came on, but then you also brought in the cast from Bendeluk Bratback, and that does come true, Des, because the love of Celtic and actually being in, I suppose, something that they had a connection with that wasn't professional. It was a real personal connection they had with the play, and I think then, because of how well it was received, like, Jim, did you expect it would be just so much loved by the fans?
Not in a million years, Andrew. Just to pick up the point you made there about why it's good to have Celtic fans involved, because these things change very quickly. And I had a cast in 2 months before the first time we stayed Bendit Le Bratback. All three people fell away to do other things. And we ended up with the three cast members that we had. And we won a watch because they were massive Celtic fans, compared to the three before. Now, the three before that we had in terms of acting ability, you know, they weren't any worse than the three we had, but you had the passion for the three that we had, because one of the people who was going to do it, the guy who was going to play Tam, who was off his head, is an Inverness fan. So I said to him one day, I said, look, you know, this is them going for the 10, right? This will be a disaster for Celtic fans. You need to understand how big this is. And I'm saying, imagine your wife gets killed in a car crash, right? This is worse. right? Because, you know, if we don't stop them doing this 10, you know, it'll be a disaster forever. Well, not a few weeks, a few months, but for all eternity. So do you get that? So when Laurie does Tam, I mean, you don't have to explain that to him. He gets that. This is going to be an absolute nightmare. So we did a couple of nights in Webster's as a rehearsed reading. That's when the guys have got the scripts. And it went down really well, really, really well. And thanks to people like yourself and other bloggers and tweeters and stuff like that who helped to publicise the play, we go back and do 5 nights at Webster's. And James McInerney, a bit like Desmond Plain, knows everyone in the whole world, knows everyone involved with Celtic. So James knew someone who had a bit of money behind him, and he suggested put on the SEC, which was just like mind-blowing. So what I've always considered to be this week in a daft story, Bendit Le Bratback's on the SEC, and it's quite surreal. You're in the SEC, because when you go into the SEC, there's like TV monitors just at the entrance there. So the first two was like, yeah, Rod Stewart, Little Mix, Bendit Le Bratback. So it's just bonkers, you know. We had to make our way through Little Mix fans to get to the kind of bit, you know. So it was just bonkers. And the fact it went down so well, then I suppose this one had to be just as good. So that's a bit of a Pepsi challenge. Will this one be as good? It's similar, but it's different in terms of how I've spoken about before. There's kind of three F's to do with this. There's kind of fact, fiction, and fantasy. So we brought back, the facts are brought back were that season, 97-98, which you'll remember because you're old enough to remember that. Then there was a fictional part of that, which was a fictional family, what they were going through that season. And then there was a fantasy part of that. And I remember you sent someone along to review it. And they actually said the fantasy bit. And I said, put that out, Andrew. Get rid of that.
Which we did.
That's the fantasy bit. Because if you tell people that, that won't be such a surprise. Because when that bit comes, as Dead would say, people went, whoa, you know, didn't see that coming. In the same way that Bertie has got the three elements as well. So the fact is that 1965 season. And for people like me and you and Des, we are too young, even though we're quite old. We are too young for that. So it's a bit of a lesson in Celtic's history. This is how it worked. Here's the facts. In the fiction, here's a family. It's a made-up story. In the fantasy, which I can't tell you about, you need to come and see it. Because the facts, but again, people will say, you know, like, OMG, WTF, what's this about? You know, and it's certainly bonkers. And at times you wonder whether people will get the fact this is funny because it's bonkers or this is just too bonkers. So when I sent the script to Des thought it was really, really fun. So he gets it. He gets the bonkers bit. And I think what we've tried to do over the past year, because we've actually meant to stage it this time last year. And obviously COVID came in, got in the way. Then it's going to be May there. Still couldn't do it. So we're just delighted actually to get the thing on. Because we've waited so long to do it. So the fantasy bit, people again, once Des does this bit, it'll be this, whoa, sort of thing. What we tried to do over the past year is add more and more bonkersy bits to it. And I've tried to take advantage of the fact that Des is such a good impressionist that what else could we add in here that would make this even more bonkers than it already is? So it's incredibly bonkers and hopefully people will get it. And if they do, then it'll do really, really well. Is that your comment, Mr. McLean?
Oh, they'll get it. I know that as a writer, you've always got these wee concerns and all that, but they will go with this incredible roller coaster ride all the way through. It is, but I think Bertie kind of steers it all the way through, if you know what I mean. And it's hard to explain, but once you see it'll all fall into place. It really is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to appearing in this and being Barry and see how Barry goes down and stuff like that. But it's just a cracking play right to the very end. And it's got it all, hasn't it? It's very funny right away. It's got to be very funny. And it's nostalgic. It's emotional. And it's a must for every Celtic fan, young and old.
Yeah, and Des, how I got through COVID was looking forward to stuff, you know, and the first step, you know, was to get back for a point. You know, then it was to get back for a point indoors, and then it was back to get back to Glasgow, and then it was to get into the stadium. And now I done my first DJ gig recently, and it was a silent disco because that was a way of getting around, because we're kind of behind Scotland at the moment. And we done a Saturday night, and it was sold out, and everyone had a pod, and they were allowed dancing the pod, and there was three DJs on, so they had three channels, three different types of music, and it was just, I've never seen people. It was as if they'd never been out before, but they all stayed. Mm-hmm. They played by the law. They stayed in the little area, and the place was absolutely bonkers. And to see people enjoying themselves again was amazing. And another step on that journey will be people who go to theatre. And I think this play will bring in people that don't normally go to theatre, because there's comedy in it. And then obviously coming on the back of the Brat Back one, you know, there's an appetite with it, because as Jim said, it's sold out. Like the first run is sold out by the matinee now, which has been added. But for you, Des, you know, you've been doing stuff, you know, on Zoom, and how important is it for you now? It's not only is it something that was on your bucket list, but you're now getting back on stage to entertain, which is your job.
It's incredible. As we mentioned earlier on, I was doing Zoom gigs in this very room for a year and a half. Jim tuned in to some of them, and they were really good. They were very professional, as good as a Zoom can be, you know. At first, we hated them. Comedic. We'd heard all these horror stories on, no, you know, you're talking to nobody, you're getting no feedback. And I remember the first one, I was hitting the audience with all my big guns. And this wee woman, how you could see everybody. At first, we didn't realise what we were getting into, because we just heard that there's no laughter. But there's, you know, a big comedy club in Scotland was doing them, and they had to pre-record them. So how can you pre-record a performance and expect to ride the laughter? So that didn't work. So this first night when I'm doing it live, there's a wee woman in Bishop Briggs in Glasgow, and she's just shaking her head when I was on. And I'm thinking, is she shaking her head at me? And then we spotlighted her for the viewers. That means obviously just put her on the full screen. I thought maybe she's got a wee facial tick, a wee nervous thing, and she just turned around and she said, "To think I gave up my Saturday night for this shite." It just switched me off. And I thought, that's what you call an instant review, you know. So she became it became a running gag, and we got her back on, and she said, "Oh, I didn't know I could be heard." I went, "I know you didn't." You know, and she didn't know, and she'd had an argument with her man. She wanted to watch some. So that was this new thing with Zoom, where you were suddenly, you know, in all these people's living rooms. And then it became really, I hated it at first, and then it became really good. The audience became house trained. But then, it just obviously it was obvious, you know, it was the only thing we could do. It was the only thing we had. And then I started a beer garden tour, and just to see real people again. Oh my God, me and another wee Celtic fan comedian, the brilliant Susie McCabe. And we were like, I was very emotional the first night with the beer garden. I was actually nearly in tears, because real people, you weren't looking at them through a screen. I know Zoom was good at the time, but to see real people, you know, the whites, you know, smiling away. It was just amazing, incredible. So now that was just a beer garden, and then we were allowed to go indoors. And then the first time I went back indoors again to see real people inside, it was like a big chunk of normality. And then, you know, and the sound is bouncing off the walls, and I felt, we're back, we're nearly there. There's a big light at the end of the tunnel. And now the fact that we're going back into a theatre with this, and you're right, theatre goers will go and see it. Celtic fans will obviously go and see it. Comedy fans will come and see it. So it's for everyone. And you're right, it's not going to just be theatre goers who, oh, what's on at the theatre today? This looks like a nice wee. It'll bring a whole different batch of people to this play. That's a good thing. But I can't wait. And for many reasons, like the one that you said as well, just to get back inside and perform, and the big chunk of normality is back. You know, just seeing people out there in front of you again. So it's that as well. It's, you know, having not performed for 18 months and then to be doing this is going to be incredible.
That's brilliant. Jim, on the serious side, you know, you call the play Bender Like Birdie. It's not the Birdie story. But I know that you, like, Des, I know you've performed with Birdie and you've met Birdie so many times. I'm sure you have as well, Jim. He sat behind me in Saltley Park for the last couple of seasons, and he was he lived, breathed, and kicked every ball that Celtic. And I remember the time with the Green Brigade on the display where they came out with the fireworks out of the flags. He was just he was made up, and I remember around the first time of the 67, the lights made up. And it's just sad now that, like so many of the players, that he's been diagnosed with dementia, and It's close to me now, because it's just come into our family as well. So it's kind of around the same time, you know, we started noticing little things. So yeah, it's quite serious. So I'm delighted that someone does a pound from each ticket sold going to the Football Memories, because we had them in on Celtic AM as well. And they're an amazing group. And it doesn't, you know, as they said, we don't really need money. We just need people to give up their time. And I just thought that was just an amazing... it's just an amazing little touch that adds to the kind of Bertie story now, you know, which wasn't meant to be.
The first time I heard about Football Memories was at Celtic AM, when Big Simon Weir came in and spoke about it. And I thought, I need to get involved in this, because I'd retired a couple of years ago and I'd had a whole list of things I was going to do. And I thought, that's right up my street. And also the fact it was based at Hampden, and I live a few streets from Hampden. So after I'd seen Simon on that, I went and found a bit more information about it. And it's a phenomenal thing, Football Memories. A very simple thing, like lots of most good ideas are quite simple things. So I've been involved in that. I go to a care home. Well, before COVID, I go to a care home once a week up in Silverburn, and there's about half a dozen elderly gentlemen that you talk to, and there's a mixture of one or two are just, you know, these don't get anything at all. One or two, there's a wee bit, and one or two actually do get it. And you say something that kind of sparks a bit of a memory, and before you know it, they're talking about how they got to Aberdeen and what pubs they drank in and all that kind of stuff. And we met Bertie last year. Des and I met Bertie this time last year because we thought, well, I thought, we're putting on a play called Bender like Bertie. We better actually tell him this is coming on just in case he wonders what's all this about. So we meet Bertie, and one of the things you do in Football Memories is you get a box of football cards with photographs of old players. So you basically sit at Football Memories and you'll show a card, and then one of the residents, if they can get it, they'll say, well, that's Jim Baxter. Would you remember Jim Baxter? And then off they go and start to chat about it. So I thought, when we meet Bertie, I'm actually going to bring my cards with me. And when we met Bertie, there was a wee kind of 15-minute spell where Bertie's son Robert, who's a lovely, lovely man, he had to go and pick up his wife, and then Des had to make a phone call. So I'm sitting with my cards, and the first card I've got is Bertie, obviously. So it's me and Bertie Auld. I've never met Bertie Auld before. I know you've met him a number of times, but 2020 was a difficult year, but I met Bertie Auld. You know, so that was a highlight for me. And that 10, 15 minutes where Des went away and then Robert went away, it's just me and Bertie Auld, and I'm chatting to Bertie Auld, and I'm telling him about Football Memories. And he's dead interested, as he is about everything. He's one of these guys who, you know, he just, you know, you've only got to say something and he wants to know more about it. What is that, son? How does that work, son? So I've got my box of cards and Bertie's at the front of it. So I take the first one up and I put it in front of him and I say, remember him? And I can't do the Des voice, but he says, handsome man, he, what a player. So we then go through other cards as well. Charlie Tully's there and Jinky's there and Billy McNeil. And then some of the guys that he's played against, oh, he's a dirty big bastard, him. Oh, it's totally surreal. You're sitting, Lisbon Lion, Bertie Auld, and then Des come back, and I'm kind of saying to him, Peter, I'm talking to Bertie, Peter, because I'm just here, you know. So he was dead interested in the whole Football Memories thing. It's tragic that, you know, he's now been diagnosed with dementia, but it's a fantastic project. And if you raise a couple of bob at the play, is great. There's a thing called a memory box that they have. I don't know if you know the memory box, where, and they cost about £250 each. It's basically a big box stuffed with kind of like oldie football-y stuff. So there's a kind of ball, the kind of leather ball with the kind of laces on it, the old football boots with the cork studs that are hammered into it, the old rickety thing they had at the games, a Bovril for the smell, dubbing, all that kind of stuff. So a memory box costs about £250. Hopefully we can buy maybe three or four memory boxes and towards Football Memories. So it's got that wee part to it as well. And also the fact is how the play kicks off is about, well, the actual play is about a 50-year-old female Celtic fan and divorced, two teenage kids, stressful job, and her dad's got is in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and she's taken him to Football Memories. And that Football Memories is Bertie Auld. And that's how it starts. That's how it kicks off. So there's a real tie-in with the whole kind of Alzheimer's and then dementia in terms of trying to raise a bit of money. And it's also in the play as well. So that'll raise awareness a wee bit about Football Memories. So that's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, it is, Jim, and I'm delighted to hear that it was true Saturday AM that you heard about Football Memories and you got involved. But yep, we all have so many football memories, so I'll kick it out to Des first, and then I'll go to you, Jim. Just a little memory from you were growing up, Des, and who stood out? Who was your Bertie?
Can I just say a wee point about just Jim was saying there, when Jim was putting the card down before I was away chatting to Robert, it was amazing what those pictures sparked. Although his brain was a wee bit muddled, he was going, "I see him there. I stiffened him when we played against him at Burnley. I went and stiffened. It sparked off all these other details." Remember, he was going, and I ran, and I just see him. Oh, he's a dirty, and he booted me in the back of the leg, and I went. Oh, I banjoed him back and all that. So it did spark off. Remember, he was telling you about all these things. So it was amazing that little thing just went bang and it sparked up all the detail. Memories. I mean, there's so many. Obviously, as far back, obviously, Larson was the most incredible player. Before that, I didn't really see much of Dalglish, but he obviously, Dalglish and Larson were the big two for me. I know Jinky was revered that he was before my time. But I just think that season when Martin O'Neill came, and you know, we had been in the shadow for so long, and then I'll not forget, I was down there, and O'Neill, you know, I will do everything in my power to bring success to this football club. I will bring everything in my power, you know, when to bring success to this football club, I will. And everybody went, whoa, and we were like, we know you will. It was that quiet confidence. And then obviously the signings all started to come in, you know, Sutton and all that, and everybody, the Rangers were so cocky, Sutton, he's a dud, he's a dud. And then, you know, when Larson just get better and better, and then, you know, he turned Petrov into everybody, you know, into a player the way that Big Ange is with players at the moment. So Seville, it was Lennon that got me the ticket for Seville and all that. I mean, that was just incredible as well. And I sat next to his dad and stuff like that. So that whole time, O'Neill, and then after that, it was kind of when Rodgers came, it was so similar, wasn't it? You know, to turn us around. And, you know, the bold Rodgers came as well, and it was very similar. There was even more, 14,000 down at Parkhead to see him. So, you know, we really went for that. And Rodgers' football was sensational. I know we were playing against a poor Rangers team, beating them. They were taking five off them at every opportunity.
Wonderful.
It was wonderful, yes. And I remember when we got them, we got drawn against them in the semi-final. They were all cheering, all these videos of them all cheering. Yes, we got Celtic, and then we pumped them 4-0. It was just like, how, you know, I mean, just getting better and better and better. But the current, at the moment, this reminds me, I don't remember Rodgers' team. I'm not getting carried away, but I do not remember Rodgers' team, even Rodgers' team, being as fast as this. This is incredible. This is like pinball. It's scintillating. It keeps me. It's just, there was a point where I was watching the game last week and my wife went, what's happening? I went, I can't keep up with it. You're just watching a badder. And I thought, this is incredible. And it was 6-0, 6-0 again. And you're seeing guys like a badder. And you're thinking, these guys, he's just brought these players in and they have just hit the ground running. Nobody in their wildest dreams would have thought that the turnaround was going to be like this. So it's just, you know, I went from O'Neill to Rodgers to the bold Ange. And before I came on, whilst we were waiting, just before you sent in, there's a link there, I just went on to Celtic and they're all saying, you know, would you swap Ange being here for the 10 and all that? So it just shows you how much of an impression this guy's made in such a short space of time. Nobody in their wildest dream. He's got no backroom staff. He's just come in here with his comfortable jumper, you know, and he's awkward, you know, looks, you know. Oh, hold on a minute. Somebody's banging on my door. Can we edit this?
Can
we edit this? Sorry.
It's not me.
No, hold on. Right. Wait a minute. I was just at the point, Angie's jumper for the edit point. Hold on.
He's some man, isn't he?
Unbelievable.
Really, really. So that's the thing about this, Andrew, that all he has to do is open his mouth as Bertie and people will laugh.
We might even keep this pad in.
Aye, no.
It's a guy
in fact,
thing and he says,
the bit that Dave did there. Sorry, back to Dave.
The guy came to the door, right, and he was delivering something and he went, I'm working here. And he went, I know, I could hear the noise there, it sounded good. And he went like, hands me the thing. So that's a guy, he got a live, never mind all your Zoom, I got a live front row ticket there, son. You were doing your impersonations there, son. It was Big Ange, right? So somebody's not put their phone off, so that
it's not me.
Right, hold on, what was I going to say?
Ange.
Yeah, so we
Ange's jumper.
We went for Big Ange, the Big Ange looks as though, you know, he's got that jumper on as if he's, you know, he's meeting the son's new girlfriend, you know, just going down the time. He's just Mr. Casual. It's incredible what's happening at the moment. It's absolutely incredible. The turnout, none of us, there's not one of us, I don't care what you say, that when Ange came, we were all going, that's second best. Always a bridesmaid, it's second best. We wanted Eddie Howe. Thank God we never got Howe. Thank God Howe shat it. Thank God. Thank God for Eddie Howe shiting it.
Yeah, did that bit.
For Eddie Howe being such a shite guy. Oh, no, sorry, he swore earlier on. I was keeping it clean.
I didn't swear.
You did?
Did I?
Ah, you swore. Listen, I've got a wee... You said bastard.
Did I? No, did I?
You did.
Okay.
Jim, it's a shame, Andrew's like that. It was going so until the Amazon guy came to the door. It was going so well.
Jim, there's a full episode in your time supporting Celtic, especially with the Save Ourselves and that, which, you know, was the first step of getting rid of the old board and to the new stadium we have now. So, but that's for another episode, because we're here to talk about the play. But Jim, I'm a massive boxing fan, and I know that you've got a Tommy Gilmore or the Gilmore dynasty coming up. And I'm looking here, it's Rocky Balboa. It's
there ain't no parlor. There ain't no parlor. Came with a shot, the parlor.
You ain't getting no shot at the title, and that's final. You're a disgrace to the sport.
There ain't no parlor. I want to fight this guy.
Well, you can fight him, but you can fight him without me.
But what do you mean? I've got 10 title V.
Yes, but they was handpicked. This guy, he ain't going to kill you. This guy, he ain't going to kiss you. He's a wrecking machine.
I'll punch. No, sorry. Anyway.
Jim, please bring us up to date with the Tommy Gilmore and the Gilmore boxing dynasty. Is it a play?
Des McLean plays Tommy Gilmore, basically.
And Rocky Balboa.
He plays everything.
Basically. Tommy Balboa.
Just before we go into Tommy Gilmore one, just to get back to Bertie a wee second, you were asking Des about players that he liked back in the day. One of the fun things about the play is actually having a go at players. Because what you didn't have 50 years ago was social media and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And if we had it back then, all these iconic players would have got slaughtered back in the day. Because when you actually look at the results, because within the play, it goes from January 65 to April 65. And we end up eighth that season. And most of the games in that period, we don't win. You know, so between every scene, I put up some scores, the last scores we had, etc. You know, and the fans weren't happy. So one of the kind of real fun elements of the play thing is having a go at these players, right? So, like, you know, Big John Hughes, I think, shout, he was crap. Steen's a clown, you know, so because that's what people would have said at the time. One of the characters is basically, there's no time for Steen, you know. So, in actual fact, when Steen takes over, the results aren't too clever. You know, and you get to the cup final, and he doesn't play Jimmy Johnson in the cup final. So you imagine you're at the 65 cup final, and the team comes through, and Jimmy Johnson's not playing. What's your reaction to that? You know, so I find that a lot of fun to get back and try and visualise, think, what would people think back there at the time? So that's a wee bit about, you know, because any football player that I've ever seen, all you've got, any Celtic player, all you've got to do is mention a player's name and people start clapping. You know, Billy McNeil, whoa, Billy McNeil, when they'll start singing his name. There's none of that kind of stuff in it. It's the opposite of that. You know, you're having a go at players. Because I think the semi-final game, we played Motherwell, and McNeil makes a real mess of the first goal. So they're slaughtering them, basically. So you're trying to go against the grain a wee bit. And I think that's why a lot of people like Brad back, because a lot of that, because even When we actually mentioned Harold, you know, it wasn't in a good light. You know, looks like an accountant, plays like an accountant. You know, couldn't he accuse after a banjo, etc. So anyway, Tommy Gilmore, yeah, hopefully that'll go in next year. That's the plan. It's a bit of a departure. I know nothing about boxing, so I've watched a ridiculous amount of boxing DVDs and read boxing books, and I've met Tommy a few times. What actually happened was I got asked on to Off the Ball, BBC Scotland Off the Ball, and he was the other guest. And it turns out he's about 7-8 years older than me. Went to the same schools as I went to, lived in the area that I lived in. And he told me that he had a biography about 10 years before and didn't like it. It wasn't as good as it should have been. Words to that effect. And I'd written my first play that had never been on anywhere. And I said, do you ever think of it in a play about your life story, Tommy? And he said, that's a brilliant idea. And then from then, he came to see Brad back, loved it. And he said to me, when are you doing this play about me then? So I met him a few times. And there was a fight in 1992, Pat Clinton won the world championship in the Kelvin Hall in Glasgow. And that was Tommy Gilmore's first world champion. And that was the biggest night of his life, the first world champion. So it's based around that fight. So he's there watching the fight and also talking to the audience about the Gilmore dynasty. So I've met Tommy a few times and we've watched that fight as well, so I could get his comments. And
now, lads, I always have army guest, the commander of the show, climb into me Celtic Soul time machine. Now, you can go back to a football moment or a life moment or maybe a rock and roll moment if you've had one. So I'll start with you first, Jim. As playwright, where does Jim go back to if he jumps into the time machine?
A time machine day, is that a time machine?
That's interesting, isn't it?
That's interesting. Andrew would say time machine. Interesting. Where would I get back to? The 60s. I'm always fascinated by the 60s because I just missed the 60s. I was born in 59, so I wasn't old enough to kind of understand all the stuff that was happening. When I wrote Bendeley Baxter about 1967, it was going to be about Lisbon, but then I thought, well, everyone would like plays about Lisbon for the 50th anniversary. But I thought 67 was such a fascinating year, socially, politically, musically, football-wise, the whole thing. It was a real high watermark for Scottish football, you know, and because you're a football fanatic, and if you look at Scottish football just now, it's just, you know, it's just miles away from what it used to be. And back then, you know, teams like Celtic could win the European Cup. And we talk about 67, in that 67 year, Rangers lost the Cup Winners' Cup final that season. Kilmarnock got knocked out in the semi-final of the Fairs Cup, which is the Europa League, or the old Europa League. Dundee United beat Barcelona home and away. Scotland go to Wembley and beat the world champions 3-2. So that was a time, if you're a football fanatic, that was the real high watermark. Whereas just now, Scotland is a national team, we're nowhere. Celtic is a team, we're nowhere. We're never going to win the Champions League. You know, but back then, a much simpler time. And I think that also comes out in the play. It's a much simpler time, getting a link in there. It's a much simpler time. People did enjoy themselves. Maybe not. It was just different. And I'm sure it's not as good as you might, or I might paint out to be. But it was a much simpler time. And I think the world moves very, very quickly. You know, things like social media, you have to run very fast to sort of keep up. So I'd like to get back to a more simpler time, sometime in the mid-60s, I think. I'd like to be maybe 18, 19-year-old in 1967. I think that'd be a good thing to do. Because also, when you can come out the Second World War, I mean, a lot of younger people are very much like their parents. But when you got to that late 50s, early 60s, you know, they become individuals in their own rights. So it's a very long-winded answer of saying, get back to the mid-60s.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
And you, Des?
it was just when you said time machine, I just saw Jim thinking, how? we'll get back to this wee bit when you see the play.
Okay. Yep.
What's that? Like Jim, I mean, I don't like the idea of the bad old days and outside toilets and guys walking about with rickets and neck lumps and all that. And say, the days were great. No, they weren't. And they could get potatoes and there was still muck on them. None of this and process and shite now, right? I don't like all that stuff, but I would have liked to have been between 67 and 70 when Celtic were obviously watching old videos and seeing Celtic like beating Leeds United in the semi-final, and you think, what a team. Celtic were, you know, like one of the best teams in the world, not just, you know, holding our own up here and a wee shock result here and there against, you know, the way we did in Seville, kind of beating, oh, we get through against Blackburn, Liverpool. No, we were like the best, and it was incredible. And when I heard Bertie telling me as well about, you know, the people talk, there was three world-class players in that team, three world-class players, Tommy Gemmell, Jinky, and Bobby Murdoch. But, and see, you think that, what they were, I mean, you know, all things considered, a team to have that quality back then, I think I would have loved to have seen that team. You know, that is a team that, you know, and Rangers were actually, as Jim mentioned, were strong as well. So it wasn't as if it was like, you know, Brendan Rodgers were just beating them, blah. So I would have liked, football-wise, I would have loved to have seen that team because they were the best. They were the best. But I'm kind of glad that I managed, you know, we still got to see the brilliant Seville team and all that, and then we've had a few wee kind of blips on the way, and now this is as exciting as it gets now as well. I wouldn't like to move into the future now, because it's just like the world was getting crazier and crazier, you know. Yeah. If we'd have been in, if somebody had said, you know, like 2 years ago, Boris Johnson's going to be the thing, we're at, and you know, Trump was it, you'd be like, what, no, no, and all this whole pandemic thing was just, it was just crazy. But yeah, it's bad enough now, but as social media now, it's the thing is, like years ago, when I was on the radio, you would genuinely get fan mail in a letter. You would get fan, people go, like, there's your fan mail, and go like that, and give you some letters. Oh, Des, I saw you, and you would, you'd open them up and read them. Now, it's just, you just get abuse on Twitter. You know, it's just like, it doesn't matter what you do, you could have the, you could have the perfect 10 out of 10 gig, and on Twitter there's somebody going, I hate you, you're, you know. So all that social media is, that's the horrible side of it, but it's great for, like, say, I was, you know, on Saturday there, I was doing a gig on Saturday in the afternoon, and my wee pal Susie's on stage, and I says, I'll just sit over here with my phone off, and Jim knows my phone's always off when I'm doing gigs, professional, but this time I'm sitting there, Twitter, bang, a bad a goal, Twitter, bang, a bad a goal, Twitter, Turnbull goal, and I was like, 4-0. So you never, the days of the old, you know, like, you could only get the game on Radio Scotland, remember, was it, remember, David Francie, remember, years ago, I remember that as a wee boy, Radio Scotland, and it was just, we're sitting there listening and all that. I remember my dad had like LPs and all that, and Celtic are here, and I've got an LP of Celtic, the European Cup final, an LP, the vinyl thing where, you know, you'd play it, it was mental. It was obviously handed down, but when you think back to that old depressing radio, you know, like, that's all you had, but now it is incredible. When you try and say, back in the day, like when you were a wee boy, remember there was news flashes, Elvis Presley is dead, Reginald Bosancat, no, no. Now, when anything happens, it's just bang, bang, it's instant, you know. Social media, it's the most awesome thing, but it's also a horrible thing as well. So I'm kind of glad where we are at the moment, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and Des, you can't tell anybody anything now because they go, oh no, I've seen it on social media.
Seen it? They've seen it on social media, and you know, and jokes are ripped off on social media. People, it's just everything is, and there's no room. Could you imagine? Here's a frightening, I mean, could you, as Jim said, could you imagine Twitter and all that, like years ago during Sack the Board? Jim had to go there with all his leaflets and flyers in the rain and all that and give them out, and fans were all falling out one. But if you'd Twitter and all that, it'd be a different story if you'd all your social media. So, it's amazing. It's great, but. There you go.
Well, when you mentioned radio, I had to. Over here, we have two huge events every year, and they're the All Ireland finals in Gaelic football and hurling. And on Sunday, we witnessed a Limerick team that were outstanding, but I only got to see the second half of the game. But I was dropping my mum and dad down to Carlingford. They were going away for two nights, and I dropped them down. But I made sure I was out of the hotel and all in time to listen to the first half while I was driving back on the radio. And I just forgot how good radio commentary is. It was absolutely amazing. And the speed of a hurling game. And the commentators to keep up. And, like, they're absolutely brilliant. Like, you had, like, he was talking about the game. He was giving you running commentary. And then all of a sudden, he obviously noticed someone that he knows. And and his father was a bread man from Mullingar. And his mother, oh, she used to cook the dinner down in the school in Limerick. You had this, and it was just absolutely brilliant. And sometimes I think we need to stop and go back and listen to the radio and don't be relying on our phones for, because there's nothing. Hello. like the Rangers game, yes, like it's easy to check to see if they're winning or losing on your phone. But to listen to it, especially if they've been bet, it'd be great, like, you know. But there is a beauty, Des, and I know you're walking radio, there is a beauty still in radio.
Oh, listen, I'm a big radio fan, I always have been, I still listen to radio all the time. I was on the radio in the breakfast show, I've won 3 Sony Radio Academy Awards. Thank you.
I know, you've got to mention,
I don't think anybody else has. So that's a humble.
How did you win them, Des?
Eh?
How did you win them, Des?
By that sounded like the most contrived. by doing the 8-10 sketch, the wind ups, Sean Connery, we wound up all the celebrities, Sean Connery, Rod Stewart, Coolio, who else? Joan Rivers. It was all whoever, Scotland manager. There was one. So that was my wee thing in the morning, the 8-10 sketch, and then we won the Sony for that. But no, radio is a fantastic medium. And the interesting thing is, radio is still the one medium that is still as effective as it was in the 80s as now. People still in the car, you know, you've always got the radio on that, you know, people, you don't, CDs have kind of came and went and all that, and the whole sport. I still like the radio, you still like that. And I know what you mean, that you still like a commentary on the car is still, it's still better than getting onto Twitter, isn't it? And then just an update and all that to hear it, the description, stuff like that. But yes, definitely, yeah. There's always going to be a place for radio in this world.
Well, listen, boys, it's been an absolute pleasure to get you on. I wish you the best of luck with the play. And I think there's a podcast in each of you, so maybe you'll come back on as individuals in your own right and have a chat with me in the future. And but before we finish up, Jim, can you just give an update to the listeners how they can get hold of the tickets that are left for the matinee? And please tell us there's going to be another run.
Hey, Saturday the 4th of September at 2 o'clock matinee at Webster's Theatre. The other nights are all sold out. What happens in the future is up to Mr. McLean, because he's a man very much in demand. It's
he's just about put the Vegas, pressure on,
maybe. Isn't he? No pressure,
does. We spoke about Vegas as a potential, because Bertie was always in Vegas. And I was speaking to some of the Vegas guys, the guys who were behind Vegas last year, about Benoit Bradback. And I think I've never been to Vegas, but Des has. But I think what tends to happen is fever, Des. But I think what tends to happen in Vegas, it tends either to be stand-up comedians or music. I don't think they've ever had a play there. And the fact that the Brad Bye went down so well, and it is very funny, there's a chance we could maybe take a play to Vegas. Maybe Bertie's a better bet, because Bertie, as we said, there's been a fixture over there. So we'll certainly be speaking to the guys, and depending whether Des is available, then we could look to tour it in Scotland next year. Just have to see how it goes next week. All going well, I'd expect it to go well. And then we can have a wee chat about what happens next. But Des is kind of central to the whole thing, and he's very much in demand. So if Des is up for it, certainly, yeah, I'm certainly up for it.
It'd be wonderful to see you in that. Vegas.
I love that. I'm too busy for Vegas, Jim. No, I'm playing the Pulmody Railway Club on Friday night, you know. So I'm playing the Twecker Miners and Welfare. No, listen, we're quietly confident that this will be a big hit. Quietly confident, very confident, in fact. And then
okay, one game at a time. Yeah. One game at a time, Des. One game at a time.
One game at a time. But also, we were talking about Twitter and social media and the pros and cons. The good thing about the Celtic family, the whole Celtic family, the Celtic following, the fan base, is that Jim just had to tweet it, and then it was like, it just caught fire, retweets. And without even putting it out there, Jim, we were getting people saying, bring it here, bring it to Ireland, bring it to up north, bring it down south, bring it, you know. So already the power, that's where Twitter is very good as well. You know, so we're getting requests to go places, and he's right. Vegas would be a great fit, because Bertie was Mr. Vegas. Bertie would go up and do a song, he would tell a few jokes, he would tell stories. He loved Vegas. Bertie was the first guy you saw in the morning at Vegas, and he'd be walking about, how are you doing, son? You alright? Aye, that was some turn you done last night. Magnificent, son, brilliant. So he'd always be the first guy you'd see at the airport, he was the first guy you see at Vegas, and they all loved him. He was always there. It just suited him to your tea, Vegas, you know. He looks the kind of guy, Bertie, you know. You could see him. We were saying in the last podcast, we held up a photo of Bertie, and we were saying Bertie looks as though he could be sitting with De Niro and all that, and Pacino, and all. Hey, you know, Mr. Ald, you know, he's not happy, you know. Hey, you know, he's a lion, he's a fucking Lisbon lion. Listen, guys, I can make you an offer. You couldn't refuse. You couldn't. You know, Mr. Ald, he's not happy, you know. He's from the Panmure gang, you know, in Maryhill. The Panmure. So you could see Bertie sitting there, you know, Peaky Blinders even. We're going to be the man called Bertie Ald. I'll rip his head off. You're not going to rip this man's head off. He's a Lisbon lion. Right, Arthur. See the Peaky Blinders? I like the bonnet. Ronnie Simpson had a similar bonnet. Remember Ronnie? Ronnie had a bonnet like Peaky Blinders as well. We put our teeth in it. Chinky put his teeth in it. Magnificent. Arthur, we're going to see a man called Bertie Ald. He's a legend. He's a lion. That's right, and he's magnificent. So there you go. I hope you watch Peaky Blinders, otherwise that's just been
magnificent. Lads, what can I say? I just finished with, there is a famous picture of Bertie in Las Vegas with Mr. T. I don't know if you've seen that.
That's just what a meeting of minds that is. Yeah. Hey, fool. Hey, fool. Hey, old. Hey, old. I'm going to crucify you, old. Ah, you won't crucify MD. I'll stiffen you. T-U-T. I'll stiffen you. See that, Mr. T? I just stiffened him. Me and we, that's that. Me and we, like, try to have a go at me and at the wing. Hey, fool.
I'm just laughing at, of course, Bertie and Mr. T. Brilliant.
Yeah, we had Jackie Meaton, who started the Federation, definitely. And we had him on the podcast, and I was just looking for on his Facebook page for some pictures, and there's this brilliant picture, and there's Franco from the Brazenhead, Lola Messium's in it, Tommy Carby's in the picture, and a couple of other old timers, we'll say, from the Celtic scene, and there's a wonderful picture. I'll actually post it up again when we put the podcast out. So, folks, best of luck with the play, and thank you very much. And I look forward to getting you both back on the show again. So thank you so much.
Cheers,
thank
Andrew.
You.
Nice having
Thanks,
you
Andrew.
Cheers.
Bend it like Bertie. Don't forget to grab a ticket, folks, before the last show is sold out. That's the first time I've spoken to Des. Can't help but like someone who makes you laugh, can you? And it was great to catch up with Jim. Jim became a regular at Celtic AM. I didn't know Jim before I started doing the show, and he joined me on stage to talk about the play and brought in the actors from Bend It Like Ratback, who were all Celtic fans as well. So it was wonderful to have them all on stage. And because of Celtic AM, Jim found out about Celtic Memories, and it was lovely to hear him say that, because it's a wonderful charity and something that, as I said in the interview, is kind of getting closer to myself now. And I think a lot of people go through it, and it's sad, you know. But look, anyway, two good sales there. Don't forget, folks, you can find us across all social media. Don't forget to visit the YouTube channel, visit the podcast, like us, subscribe, whatever you need to do, and hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. You'll see all the Talk of the Terrace, Grandel podcast, a few other bits and pieces. Don't forget to visit the website, CelticFans.com, news and articles on that, the video content, all the podcasts are up there as well. And you can even click in and book the Art Hotel in Glasgow, who are thankfully again back as our partner hotel for this season, and we hope to add some more partners as the season progresses and as Glasgow starts to open up for business. Don't forget, if you want to sponsor an episode, we're fully fan funded, and you can do so by emailing us at info@CelticFanzine.com. So that's a shout out to Celtic minded businesses who share our values, and Celtic supporters clubs who can't afford to give us a wee sponsor, and we really appreciate everybody who sponsors us. And this episode, of course, we thank Logan Celtic Supporters Club up in County Armagh. So that's it, folks. Thanks for reading, watching and listening. Don't forget, we have the latest Grandel History podcast, which is on Johnny Doyle, Celtic Daft, as we call it. And it's because of the book of the same name by Paul McQuaid. And we will be back after the international break with Talk from the Terrace. We have a couple of guests lined up for that, so I'm looking forward to chatting to them as well. And we'll be back not next Friday, but the Friday after, with the Celtic Soul podcast, because it's international week and we always take a little break during the internationals. And I have to say thanks very much to everybody who wished me a happy birthday for the big 5-0. Yeah, I'm 50 now, and I have to say I did start celebrating in late July, and if we do beat Rangers on Sunday, I think I might be celebrating for another week. But after that, I'm going to have to start behaving myself and getting knuckling down and getting back to some kind of normality, because I have to say I did go a little bit mad when the beer gardens opened and so forth, because it was such a long time and such a long winter. But it's great now, back to the football, back having a few points and back talking to all the lads in the pub about the football show. What more could you want? So let's hope Angie keeps the party going on Sunday. Keep the faith, folks. Stay safe. I'll see you in Glasgow soon, or maybe on an away day, and we will play out with UB40, RIP Brian Travers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.